Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey nerds, welcome to Professional Book Nerds Podcast presented by Overdrive. This is Adam. I'm not joined by Jill today because she's got a hectic as hell schedule. So I am joined by the person who fills in at this point anytime Jill can't make it. It's Mallory O'Meara from the professional from the Reading Glasses podcast. Mallory, hello.
Hello. I'm always happy to be Jill's understudy because, like, oh, you need another person with book tattoos and glasses and pink hair to fill in. I'm here.
Listen, everyone, I don't think normally when I ask Mallory to do this, it's at least like the week of, and I'm like, hey, it's going to be a hectic week, or like, Jill's on vacation, can you do this? I sent Mallory a text this morning while she was still sleeping, and she woke up and was like, sorry, I was sleeping. Yes, I can absolutely do this. So it's,
you're just... Well, it always makes me feel like a book superhero, you know, and just like, hey, can you come talk about books? I'm like, I'm ready. I've been waiting for this moment my whole life.
There's a book signal. It's being shot into the air. It's just an open book with glasses over it. And it's like, they're playing Mallory O'Meara's theme song. Is that what's going on?
Yes, it goes for both of us, for professional book nerds and reading glasses. We look in the sky, we're like, oh, it's the book symbol.
Yeah.
We're needed.
Someone must need a recommendation. So as with every single one of these that we have ever done, Mallory and I are just going to go back and forth and talk about books that we have been reading or are reading or have loved lately. Just a bunch of recommendations. I'll throw them in the show notes. I'm going to have Mallory talk about something very specific when I get to my first book that I'm currently reading, which will come up just shortly. But if you guys want, of course, you can always email us at professionalbooknerds@overdrive.com. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram @ProBookNerds. You can go to shop.overdrive.com and get a Libby Pride t-shirt if you want, all sorts of fun stuff. So we're going to go back and forth. And the reason I'm not going to let my guest start is very, very important, because the first book I'm reading right now that I'm just adoring and taking my time through is like the slowest I've read a book all year because I don't want it to end, is It's Girly Drinks by Mallory O'Meara, my guest on this particular episode. Listen, at the time of recording yesterday, the cover and the pre-order stuff started. So I'm going to let you do a real quick introduction, because spoiler alert for everyone, including Mallory, Mallory's going to be back when the book comes out in October, when Jill and I are both here to talk about it.
Thank both of you. So for your listeners, Curly Drinks is a nonfiction book. It is the history of women making, drinking, and serving alcohol all over the world from the dawn of time until now. it's a book very much geared towards like foodies, culinary people, wine fans, women's history buffs, feminists, anyone who's like into any of the intersections of those things. And it is, it's not like Lady from the Black Lagoon, which was my last book. There's no memoir part of it. There are lots of snarky jokes and footnotes. But there's no memoir. It's just a straight up sort of a micro history, cultural history, about women drinking and making booze. And it's not just one particular alcohol. It's beer, wine, cocktails, any single alcohol you can think of. Women were crucial to the invention and popularization of it all across history in every single country up until today.
It's I'm loving it so freaking much. And I'm going to put a link for everybody in the show notes so you can go pre-order it. It is available anywhere books are. And not only am I reading I feel so fancy when you guys send me like the bound manuscript version of those. It's like
that's the hardcore shit.
But I will put the pre-order in there so that everyone can do what I did yesterday and pre-order. And then when we have you come back in October, we'll talk more about it and we'll talk about favorite cocktails and all sorts of great stuff. But that's my first book that everyone else can read in October, but I am loving Girly Drinks by Mallory O'Meara. So what's your first book?
Thank you, Adam. I'm going to hold up my little e-reader that my brand new Kobo to show you. I am also reading an ARC that I'm really excited about. It's called The All-Consuming World by Cassandra Kaw.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's coming out, I believe, in September or October, sometime in the fall. And it's a great book for fans of things going wrong in space and getting the band back together and gay criminals. If you love books about being gay in space, this is the book for you. It's really, really fun. Cassandra Kaw is a sort of a sci-fi horror writer that I'm a big fan of. And this is her debut novel. And it's about this group of sort of like space criminals, and they used to be called the Dirty Dozen. But what happened is during their last sort of heist, crime spree, whatever you want to call it, everything fell apart. You know, a bunch of bad things happened. They've all sort of separated, and the main character, she's been in many different cyborg bodies since then, but they have now been tasked with getting the band back together, getting all the space criminals back together to figure out the mystery of why their last mission went wrong. And of course things keep going badly. Definitely things going wrong in space, but it's a blast. If you love any kind of book about like getting the band back together, getting a group of friends or a group of criminals or whatever, this is the perfect book for you. It's up for pre-order now. The cover's out. It's really cool. I love it. I'm really excited about it.
So good. Okay, my next one, I'm going to check. Okay, this one actually is available for everyone else now. I was just making sure. I was talking about this yesterday with Zakiya Harris, who is this week's episode. She wrote The Other Black Girl, but it's I don't know. I'm going to show you, even though no one else can see this. It's called Footnotes.
I've never heard of it, but you know, I love footnotes.
Yeah, so yeah, I thought of you because I was like, wait a minute, footnotes, what? So it's by Cassine Gaines, and it's all about in 1921, there was a Broadway show that was released called Shuffle Along, and it was the first all-Black casted, like, wildly popular Broadway show, and it basically changed the landscape of American entertainment, and it really, like, it's, if you're thinking of, like, obviously people think of Hamilton or like The Wiz or like Porgy and Bess, there's all that. I'm a big, one of the other intersections of my nerddom is Broadway. And so when I saw this coming out, I got really excited. But it's basically the story of Shuffle Along, this wildly popular Broadway show with an all-Black cast. And Cassine Gaines basically like takes the reader through like the roaring 20s and what this show was all about, and then how it's still having lasting effects on pop culture today. But like, there is all of these behind the scenes interviews with the all Black cast members with like opening night. They were like, well, this is great, but one of us is definitely getting murdered tonight, because like it was the 1920s, and they were an all Black cast on Broadway. And so, but it's just like, if you're a fan of Broadway at all, if you're a fan of, honestly, books by like Marie Benedict were like talking about like unearthed people in history who haven't gotten their proper due, or like Kate Moore, who at the if you're listening to this first thing in the morning, I guess on Thursday, you could sign up for our event with her at 3 p.m. today. Like, it's just such a powerful story, and it's so good. If you're a fan of jazz or Broadway or just like early American entertainment, Footnotes by Cassine Gaines. It's delightful. So what is your
awesome?
Oh, it's so good. And it's a nice big like chunky read too. It's perfect
for, yeah, it's a honking summer read.
It is a nice honking summer read. So what is what's your next one, Natalie?
So I've been blessed with an embarrassment of riches this late spring, because a bunch of authors that I'm a huge fan of have all come out with new books. And one of them was one of my most anticipated books of the year, and it did not disappoint. It is Helen Oyeyemi's new book, Pieces.
So good.
Oh my God, I'm nuts about it. So I love Helen Oyeyemi. She's my favorite weird fiction writer, which is saying a lot because I love weird fiction. And this book really delivers. It's about this couple, and they're going on what they're calling their honeymoon trip. They've sort of been newly unioned. They didn't want to get married, but they've sort of been joined. It takes place in the UK, and it's, I guess it would be like our version of a civil union. Mm-hmm. But they still want to go on a honeymoon, and one of the members of the couple's aunt or mom, I think aunt, buys them this train trip on this like luxury nice train, and really excited. So they're like, the book opens and they're getting on this train, and of course train's pretty weird. They discover right away that they have some very strange, both of them personally have strange personal connections to both the train and the other weird people who are on the train, and they're starting to unravel this strange mystery of why they're on the train. Why does this train exist in the first place? It's very dreamy. It's very surreal, but the whole book, it really delves into the weird experience you have of when you break up with someone, this person who was very intimately involved in your life just like doesn't exist to you anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's such a strange, it's such a strange thing. And this book really is an amazing exploration of that metaphor for that. It's just a blast. I absolutely inhaled it. I loved it. It's definitely going to be one of my favorite books of the year. What is your next book, Adam?
Oh, that's such a good book. It's so weird. They do write such weird fiction. It's the best. So my next one is, let me see this one. You know what? I'm gonna wait. That one comes out in September. I'm gonna try to do books that people can actually read right now. I'm sorry. I get excited about.
I do the same thing. It's a constant struggle.
Yeah. Okay. So one that I am currently listening to, the audiobook I'm listening to at the moment, is called For the Wolf by Hannah Witten. And I think
so good.
So good. I think we might have previewed it, but that was like 3 weeks ago. So who can remember? But it is. Would you call this like a Little Red Riding Hood reimagined?
It's definitely. I know the next one I think is Snow White, but this is all. And I know this only because so my best friend is the creative director at Orbit and did this cover. So for as soon as they basically knew about this book, Lauren was like, Mallory, because I'm obsessed with werewolves and Little Red Riding Hood. She's like, Little Red Riding Hood werewolf book alert, and I was like, give me one of those arcs.
Lauren did this cover.
Lisa. I can't remember her last name, but Lisa designed the cover, but Lauren art directed it.
Yeah.
Cover's amazing. And I remember when you talked about it during why it pays to also be a fan of your friends and listen to their podcast, because when you were previewing it for Professional Book Nerds, your June preview, you reminded folks it's definitely not YA. It's very easy to look at this book and think like, oh, this is a YA fantasy. Yeah. Not true.
Yeah, it's
very
it's
adult.
Very, very adult. So basically the way that this works is that there is this kingdom, and anytime there's a first daughter born, the first daughter is considered for the throne, quote unquote, and the second daughter is for the wolf. And so basically people don't have second daughters because they are going to have to kind of forfeit it to this super creepy wolf who lives in this like wilder wood. And from what everyone can tell, this woman is being sent to die. And so our main character, whose nickname is Red, is the second daughter, and so we're following Red's kind of story as she's sort of sacrificed to the wolf in the wilder wood in hopes that he'll like return all these captured gods from this mass. It's this like huge sprawling kind of fantasy world that you're introduced to very, very quickly. And Red at this point, like it's like on her 20th birthday, and she's basically just like relieved. She's like, whatever, let's get this over with. And she ends up kind of being introduced to this wolf and finding out that the wolf is not exactly what she expected either. And I don't want to.
The wolf is also hot.
would it strike you to believe? I could tell right away when it's like the wolf gives her his coat and she's like, and it smells like the cinnamon and the autumn leaves. I was like, oh, they're gonna.
Oh yeah.
But it's really, I mean, it's really good. I'm a sucker for any like fantasy like this. So it seems to me like if you're a fan of like Naomi Novik, like Uprooted or.
Yeah, I saw comps for Uprooted, Bear and the Nightingale, those kinds of like adult fantasy, like female focused fantasy.
Yeah. So I'm really, really liking it so far. And I haven't read too many fantasies, and I think this might be the only fantasy series I've delved into this year. So I'm excited to do this and then forget what this book is about when the second one comes out and then reread this one because I didn't remember the story. That's how it works. So
extremely relatable.
Yeah. Mallory, what's your next book?
My next book is a really good pick for Pride. It is the graphic novel, The Magic Fish by Trung Li Nguyen. And it's a YA graphic novel. Adam, you would love this. Honestly, it is so beautiful. So if you are someone who loves graphic novels with like gorgeous art, really colorful. Mm-hmm. This is the thing for you. And it's about this young boy, and he is the son of these Vietnamese immigrants, and the way that he connects with his mother and like tries to help her learn some more English is by going to the library and getting fairy tales and reading the fairy tales to his mother. And as they're reading them together, she's sort of telling him about the Vietnamese versions of these same fairy tales, like mm-hmm. Little Mermaid, Cinderella, that she learned in Vietnam, and kind of comparing it to the versions that the little boy is learning in America. So it's really cool because it kind of dives in and out of the fairy tales themselves. Mm-hmm. But the sort of the central conflict in the book is the young boy realizes that he's not straight, and he's trying to use the language that he's learning from these fairy tales and trying to read more fairy tales to find a way to tell his mother that he's gay. Mm-hmm. And it is, so it's great for fairy tale retellings, coming out stories, gorgeous graphic novel. It's just one, I read it in one sitting. It's so lovely and just such a magical, beautiful read for any time, but obviously really, really good during Pride Month. What is your next pick? You got to read this, Adam. You'll love it.
I was gonna say, that sounds so freaking good. So good. I have another one that also great for Pride, great for all year round, but great for Pride. Rainbow Milk by Paul Mendez.
I put this on my TBR because of you.
Yeah, so this, I know I put it in the Reading Glasses Slack.
Yes.
Where I was talking about it. I was like, where did I talk about this? So Rainbow Milk, for everyone, can probably hear Holden in the background barking, because it's how he lives his life. So
he has opinions.
He's got big opinions about Rainbow Milk. So Rainbow Milk is the story of Jesse, who is a young British queer male who was kicked out of the Jehovah's Witness family and community that he grew up in. And it's basically because of a thing that happened where he was out drinking with someone. And like, it ends up kind of being a good decision for him because he, you know, couldn't really live the way that he wanted to live his own life in that community anyway. And so it follows his story of becoming a sex worker and then working in a bunch of bars and restaurants and sort of like finding himself. And it's just going through his life, and it's so beautifully written. And then the first chunk of the story is this basically a really brief, maybe like 50 pages explanation of his grandfather, who is a Jamaican immigrant, and it's written like entirely in patois, so it takes a little getting used to the first chunk, and then it just like abruptly shifts to Jesse's story. But it is very it's not entirely autobiographical, but it's very much the life that Paul lived. He was kicked out of the Jehovah's Witness. He worked as a sex worker for a while. He worked in restaurants. So a lot of the stories, it was actually just like pulled out of a diary that he kept for himself, and then decided, I'm actually like, he pitched it to his, like he sold it as a book, pitched it. And then after it was due, was like, no, I'm going to rewrite this in third person, and I'm going to make it less about me entirely. Yeah. And then, like, I guess his publisher was just like, fine, all right, do whatever you want to do, which is like pretty awesome. Yeah. But it's beautiful. It very much, this one of those books where I finished it and it's much like The Prophets by Robert Jones Jr. I just like, I can't stop thinking about it, and it's so beautiful and heartbreaking and all of the feels. So highly recommend it. Yeah, it's beautiful. Definitely trigger warnings for anything dealing with sex work, and there is some very graphic, explicit sexual content, and Paul explains like, I wanted it to be realistic. He's like, you don't see these relationships of young gay black men with older white men. He's like, so I just wanted to kind of put that on the page and not romanticize any of this. So content warning for that, but it is so great and just beautiful. So what is your next one, Mallory?
Yes, I'm very excited to read that. My next pick is another favorite author of mine that had a book that came out recently. It is A.S. King, her new book, Switch, which is a YA weird fiction story. For professional book nerds who don't know me, I'm obviously a huge fan of weird fiction.
You love A.S. King. You do love A.S.
I love her so much. I now own every book she's ever written. I just adore her. She's incredible. But she has this new book, and she wrote the book before the pandemic started. So just, you should know that she didn't mean to do this, but the book, it's about this teenage girl in this world in the middle of June, 2020, time stopped. Like completely stopped. Like the day kept going, day went into night, and like, yeah, you know, mm-hmm. things in the world didn't stop, but time itself stopped. There was no, clocks would not work anymore, timers would not work anymore. Mm-hmm. So in the world of this book, for like 6 months, I think 6 or 8 months, they've all been living in this strange world where there's no time. And so all the teenagers of the world, like all the schools, have assigned like a special project for the kids to, like, okay, well, you are tasked, your group project for the year is trying to figure out a hypothetical way to either fix it, turn back time, come up with a new version of time. So that's all going on in the background while the main character, her family has kind of fallen apart. There's a bunch of bad things that have happened. Like, her mom has left. Her older sister is very abusive. I want to say content warning for that, but her older sister never comes in. You never meet her. You only hear about it. So you're not, it's not as graphic as it could be. Mm-hmm. And her father, the way that her father's been dealing with it has just been like, putting plywood up all around their home, mm-hmm. like just like nailing pieces of plywood over things and covering things up. So what she does every night is she goes around with a crowbar and pulls all the nails out and tries to undo it. And it's like this really interesting metaphor for how, like, as adults get older, they just don't want to deal with anything. And mm-hmm. teenagers are like, no, let's actually talk about this stuff. Let's actually deal with these things. And it's all this amazing metaphor for why people should give a shit, how people can give a shit, how you learn how to do so, how adults need to relearn how to do those things, because mm-hmm. we all love to make fun of teenagers and how much they care about things and how passionate they are, but oftentimes they're right. And that's something I love about A.S. King, is in her book she really explores the theme that when you're a teenager, you're sort of taught that the adults in your life are always correct, but they're not. Mm-hmm. Sometimes teens do know better, especially with social issues and things that are going on. So A.S. King writes kids and teens with such respect. Mm-hmm. And because of that, her books just seem, you never will read an A.S. King book and be like, oh, teens don't actually talk like that. Like, it just has such a ring of truth. It's so fantastic. So that's Switch by A.S. King. And I absolutely loved it. I'm again going to be one of my favorite books of the year. What is your next one?
So my next one is The Haunting of Alma Fielding, which is a true ghost story. Sorry for people that
I want to read this.
Yeah. Okay. So sorry for people that are listening to this that also listen to Reading Glasses, that are in the Reading Glasses Slack channel, because I'm realizing that a few of my picks now, I like put in the now reading part of the, I'm like, the Reading
Glasses.
Well,
they get a special preview.
Yeah. The Reading Glasses Slack channel is well and truly the best place on the internet.
It's my favorite place online.
I love it so much. So The Haunting of Alma Fielding. It's by Kate Summerscale, and this is super interesting. I didn't know, I'm definitely, and I know that you will appreciate this. It's June, so it's pre-spooky season right now. So it's basically spooky season. So anything that involves the word witches or ghost or scary or spooky, I'm in. I mean, it could be January and I would do this anyway, but it's pre-spooky season right now. So this is set in London in 1939. And this is a true story. Like, this is stuff that actually happened. And so Alma Fielding is this person who, they live in like this modest house. And basically picture like Paranormal Activity, where like shit's flying off the walls and like china's shattering and beetles just kind of like show up under her clothes and all of this stuff. It's basically, she claims that she is being haunted. And so this was like a huge thing in the 1930s, especially in England. Like, people would claim that they were haunted and either try to like fake it with obviously practical effects, or they would think that they really were haunted. And like, so anytime you watch like one of those movies, like one of those like Blumhouse movies, where you're like, how do they do all those practical effects? People in the 30s in London were just doing this shit to try and fool other people. And
they did some really wacky things.
Insane, to the point where there's this another one of the main people. His name is Nandor Fodor. I wanted to look that up, make sure I got his name right. He's a Jewish Hungarian refugee who, he's a chief ghost hunter for the, and this is a real live thing, International Institute for Psychical Research. They basically look into cases, try to determine if shit's real, set up tests to see if they can like recreate it. They hold seances, they do all of this stuff. And so it's like all of this, like the story is mixed in between Alma's like house and what's going on there. And also like the specter of fascism, like going over Europe, and like the obsession of like the Nazis with like mysticism and all these things, and like trying to figure out.
Yeah, the Nazis were very weirdly obsessed with the occult.
Super into the occult, so weird. And like, it's just this very, like, it's just trying to unpack whether or not that they could determine whether or not this person was faking it or they weren't, because Alma would do these things where like, almost like she wanted the attention, in addition to like, she would do these things that they couldn't explain, but then she would do things where they could very easily explain how she was faking it. And they're like, what the hell is going on? Is she just like, I mean, it's so interesting. And
I know, I want to read this book so bad.
It's so good. And it's like, it's just weird. It's like, it looks at a very creepy story from a very scientific standpoint. And yeah, I don't know. It was really, really great. Good stuff. What is your next one, Mallory?
Mine is, I can't remember if you guys talked about this. I don't think you did. It came out a couple months ago. It's called Good Neighbors by Sarah Langan. And it is horror, but it's very much in the, it's like Sarah Langan took Shirley Jackson's The Lottery and made it into an entire novel.
Oh my God. Say more things like that.
It's really great. So it takes place on Long Island, and it's sort of like a near future. I think it takes place in like 2024 or 2030 or something. And so global warming is really intense. But it's this family who has moved into this Long Island neighborhood, and the Long Island neighborhood is like very one of those neighborhoods that has their own, they have their own website and Slack group, and like everybody has to look a certain way and do their lawn a certain way. And this family is not that. The father is sort of a washed up rock star. The mom is a washed up beauty pageant winner, who wears very revealing clothing. The dad is covered in tattoos. One of the kids, they believe, is on the autism spectrum. And you know, so he has some habits that other kids might not understand. Basically, this family just doesn't fit into the picture perfect world that this neighborhood is trying to cultivate. And tensions sort of arise right away. And what happens over the course of the summer is a sinkhole opens up in the middle of the neighborhood. And
yes, okay, I'm remembering this now.
Yes, this tragedy happens, and it ends up getting blamed on this family for almost no reason. Mm-hmm. And sort of all the underlying tensions of the neighborhood spiral out of control. It's not a scary book, but it's a horrifying book, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. It is just, because you get, it's almost good for folks who really like small town books, because you're getting a bunch of the other stories of other people in the neighborhood and like why they're all so screwed up and like sort of what the explanation is behind their bad behavior. Mm-hmm. It's really fascinating, very claustrophobic kind of book. And what's interesting is throughout the book, you're getting these like pieces of interviews and books about what happened on the, what happened with the sinkhole ended up becoming sort of this like infamous, not urban legend, but sort of infamous story. So there was all these books about it and magazine mm-hmm. and articles about it. So you're getting snippets of those. So I love a book that, you know, something scary is happening, but you don't know why or how. Yeah. So like she'll open up a chapter with talking about, yes, the great tragedy of, on the street with the sinkhole. And you'd be like, wait, what's going to happen? And so it's really, really good. Really, really tense. Again, it's like a novel length version of The Lottery, and yeah. It's a blast. So that's Good Neighbors by Sarah Langan. What is your next one?
First, I have to tell you, speaking of Shirley Jackson, I owe you.
My favorite words.
Yeah, exactly. So I owe you. I remember when I was listening, like before we had even become friends, and I was just a little reading glasses listener. And I remember walking through, I like specifically remember where I was. I was walking through a neighborhood with my dogs, and I was living with my sister-in-law at the time, so my house was being built and it was taking forever. And you brought up Shirley Jackson's memoirs, Life Among the Savages and Raising Demons. And
love them.
You were like, you and Bria were talking, and you were like, so what a lot of people don't realize is Shirley Jackson was funny as hell. I was like, what's she talking about? And I remember, like, I went and I borrowed them like immediately. And they are so, just like, this is just a, if you haven't read Life Among the Savages or the second one, Raising Demons, They're so good. They're so funny. They're just like her. It's Shirley Jackson writing about like the domestic life that she lives. In addition,
She turns that, because what makes her books for me so good is that she has that eye where she pays attention to things that other people might not. Cause she's mm-hmm. also a very anxious person. So there's all these like little details that really make up the genius of Shirley Jackson. But she turns that eye onto her kids and tells these hilarious stories of, you know, trying to get her just like one essay, I forget which book it's in, but it's just like about her trying to get her kids ready for school. Mm-hmm. And it is so fun. I don't even have children. Yeah. And it is like, they're, if folks are looking for like a really great beach read, a really fun summer read, both of those books by Shirley Jackson, they are timeless. They are hilarious. They're really easy reads and they're really, really incredible. Yeah.
They're so, so good. And so yes, I remember that like vividly being like, like I said, we hadn't even met yet. We weren't friends or anything. I just remember being like, wow, these sound amazing. And they were. So there's that. The next book I want to talk about is called Second Place by Rachel Cusk.
I have not heard of this.
Okay. So I have a friend. Her name is Julia. She runs a very popular like foodie blog and Instagram called Beard and Broad with her husband, who is very beardy. I went to high school with them. I've known them since like seventh grade. And I have this friendship where she's also like, she's as big a reader as you and I, and she loves books that I hate. Like, I'll come on and say it. I hate Sally Rooney books. I know I'm in the minority, but I don't like books where I don't think there's a redeemable person in them. It bothers me. I want to root
for I'm the same way. I've put down several books recently because and, I feel the same way.
And I'm aware. I know I'm in the minority. Sally Rooney books get like a 1.5 million print copy first run now. I get it. Julia, my friend, loves these books because she loves reading about people that she just kind of would hate. And that's why I told her she would freaking love Second Place by Rachel Cusk, because my God, is there a character who is just infuriating. So it's the story of this woman who she lives in this kind of like out of nowhere place with her husband and her family, kind of like on this farm, and they're in this like coastal region, and she gets obsessed with this artist, and she sort of like starts mailing letters back and forth with him and invites him to come stay with them for a while. And they have this cabin-y type of a place off of their home called the Second Place, is what they call it. And so this artist comes and he brings his like young significant other with him, and it like infuriates her because deep down inside she like had a thing for him. And and like it's, you slowly come to learn that this dude is just a piece of garbage. Like, he's just a shithead to everyone.
Hold on, an artist who dates women that are much younger than him being a piece of garbage? Surprise.
You guys can't see it, but Mallory is stunned right now.
I'm so shocked.
But like, he just like, they do things where like they put on this like little evening of like art and culture where like one of the people living in the house reads this like book, this like fantasy book that he had written, like reads like the first section of it and like all these different stuff. And the dude is just a total dick to everyone the whole time, and like he trashes the Second Place and all these things. And it's like it's just basically the story of like their relationship back and forth with all these people, and like every single chapter made me infuriated. That said, the book is great. It's well written. And if you enjoy things like Sally Rooney type of books, or like there's another one called,
which many people do.
A lot of people do. I'm aware that I'm very much in the minority here. There's another book that was very similar to this. I'm like scrolling, trying to find it. Topics of Conversation by Miranda Popke. Like the same thing. A lot of characters I just didn't care for. Very well written. So if you like stuff like Sally Rooney, you would love Second Place by Rachel Cusk. It's well written. It's a good book. I just hated this character so much that I was like,
so anyway, jump into this page and punch this guy.
Exactly. What's your next one, Mallory?
So my next book is a book that I mentioned on next week's episode of Reading Glasses, but I want to talk more about it here because I've gotten, it's funny because we don't really review books on Reading Glasses. We just don't, like at the top of the show, we talk about what we're reading, mm-hmm. and often we've just started these books. So there's like what we've described that the book is about might take sort of a turn. And that's exactly what happened here. And it's this book by an author that I love. It's called Welcome to the Pineaway Cabin and Motels by Katarina Bavall. It's translated by Alice Menzies from the Swedish. She wrote a book that I'm obsessed with called The Readers of Broken Wheel Recommend. It's one of my favorite like feel good books ever. But this book is really, really fun. It's about this woman, and she has lived in this small town in Oregon her entire life. She runs this like crappy rundown motel with her best friend, who's gay, and the love of her life when she was in high school moved away and became a famous geologist. And their other best friend ended up moving to Los Angeles. So it's just like these two best friends. And at the beginning of the book, and this is not a spoiler, it's also kind of a content warning, because if it's like upsetting to you, just so you know, she dies. Like, first chapter, she gets hit by a truck. And what happens is she comes back as a ghost, and she's at first she's sort of confused. She's like, why am I not dead? Like, what's happening? And she slowly realizes that she's going to be stuck here for a while. And she, what she wants to do is start making the people in her, that were helping to make the people in her life happy, because she realizes that in the wake of her death, like, her best friend is still miserable and is like not okay with herself. Her father is still miserable. Her two friends, the two people that left came back for her funeral and they're still unhappy. So she's like, all right, well, if I'm going to be stuck as a ghost, I'm going to wander around this town and see what I can do to try to make the people in my life love their life again. Mm-hmm. And it's great. I mentioned it in the small town, because the next episode of Reading Glass is all about small town books, which is people are a huge fan of. So it's interesting because you're getting a look into a small town book in a way that I've never seen before, because she's a ghost. So she can like wander through walls and listen to everybody's conversation. So you're seeing all the people in the town. But what I didn't realize when I talked about it on Reading Glasses, and what now I'm about halfway through it, one of the big events that sort of tore this town apart a few years ago was this coalition of Christian organizers wanted to make it illegal, wanted to make gay marriage illegal, wanted to make it illegal to even talk about being gay in high school and all these things. And all the main characters obviously think that's bullshit. And so that's part of the reason why two of them moved away. It's part of the reason why the main character and her best friend tried to not really interact with the town, because there's a lot of people who are bigots who live there. And so another one of the things that she wants to do now that she's dead is she's like, how can I fix these small-minded motherfuckers in this town? And it's really great. It's a great small town book. It's really beautiful. It's such an interesting look at a small town that I'm really, really enjoying it. So that's Welcome to the Pineaway Motel and Cabins by Katarina Bivald.
Have you read The Night Always Comes by Willie Vlotten?
No.
Okay, it just came out this year, and it is another small town. So I love a small town story.
I love a small town book.
Love a small town book.
Right now, this is what happens anytime Adam and I talk to each other. We're like, have you read this? And then our TBRs grow by a million.
Just grow and grow and grow. Yeah, The Night Always Comes by Willie Vlotten. I think I talked about it was like March or early April. Okay, that's why I was like, so it's the story of Lynette is the main character, and Lynette is, she's like barely 30, and she's has horrible credit, and she's juggling with multiple jobs, and some of them are illegal. Which is great. And she's living with her mom, who is just kind of a terrible person and a terrible person to her, and also is living with her developmentally disabled brother Kenny, and is very much responsible for Kenny most of the day, but then he goes and works his jobs. And they have a chance to buy their home that they're renting right now, and at the last minute, when they think that they're good to go and she's worked so hard to get all this money, her mom's like, no, I changed my mind, and just buys a very fancy car with the money that they were saving up. And so Lynette's like, what the fuck, mom? Why did you do that? And what ends up happening is it's the story of Lynette's night trying to raise all of the money that they're going to need to buy this house and what ends up happening. And like, it's one of these interesting stories where I love a framing of a book when I feel like anytime you're introduced to an initial character in a story, there's like this subtle trust that you immediately get where you're like, that's the person we're supposed to root for. That's the first person we're meeting. That's the main character. And so when you meet Lynette, you see that like the first couple of chapters, you see Lynette taking care of her developmentally disabled brother. And you're like, wow, she's a great person. And then you meet her mom and you're like, wow, her mom's an asshole. And what ends up happening is you slowly see that Lynette is also not a great person. And like, it's just like slowly dismantles what you think you're supposed to feel for this family.
And I just put a hole on it via overdrive. So awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's so good. And it's just like, I don't know, I love stories that are like high stakes for a small number of people, or just like specifically about inter-family relationships and things. And like, it's so beautifully written, and it's very heartbreaking and it's very tough to read. But I don't know, I love when a specific framing is set up in a book where you're like, this is who you think you're supposed to like. And then you slowly learn that you're not supposed to like that person. So yeah, The Night Always Comes by Willie Vlotten. That came out in April, and it is just delightful. So what is your next one, Mallory?
My next book is a book that came out last year. So if you're doing the Professional Book Nerds Challenge and you're looking for a book that came out in 2020, this is a great one. It's a Parakeet by Marie-Helene Bertino. It's another weird fiction book. It's really fun. Also another book that takes place in Long Island for some reason. Bria, my Reading Glasses co-host, was the one who told me to read this. And it's about this woman and Adam, actually, it kind of ties into what made me think of this next one to talk about, besides the fact that I read it recently, mm-hmm. is that this woman is not super, you start liking her, but then you start to see all the other parts of her life. Mm-hmm. It's about this woman, and she is staying in this Long Island hotel it's the week before she gets married. And she's sitting there in the hotel, and one day this parakeet comes in and it's speaking to her in the voice of her dead grandmother.
What?
and starts giving her instructions and things that she needs to do, and she doesn't want to listen to it. But she ends up having to. And it's basically her realizing all the mistakes that she's made in life and like where she's going. If you love a book where a character is realizing that all the things that they've done have never actually made them happy and they need to do the thing that makes them happy, mm-hmm. this is a good book for you. Yeah. It's very weird. It's very surreal. She basically is realizing that she doesn't like her job. And the kernel at the center of the book is this really traumatic event that happened to her. And you're realizing that she never really got over it. And the way that she coped with it has been to sort of close herself off. And that's how she ended up in this job that she doesn't like, in this marriage that she's really not suited for. And her very strange sibling, and the grandmother who is talking to her through the voice of this weird parakeet are trying to help guide her into happiness. And it's very strange. It's very fun to read. It's a pretty quick book. Again, I read it through Overdrive. It's a blast. So that is Parakeet by Marie-Helene Bertino.
Nice. All right, we got time for one more each. So I'm going to do, I don't know if I've ever talked about this in the show. Maybe you guys talked about it. Before the Coffee Gets Cold?
No.
So this is by, and I apologize, I think I'm going to get this right, Toshikazu Kawaguchi. It was translated by Jeffrey Truzelet. Man, I was not expecting the Japanese name to be the easier one of the two.
The easy one to pronounce.
Yeah. Okay, so this is really, really interesting. It's a coffee shop where if you are sitting in one particular seat in this coffee shop at a certain time of day, you can get a special cup of coffee and you can go back in time.
I think Bria talked about this book.
I think so. I remember hearing
this. It sounds like a Bria book.
Yeah, I remember hearing one of you two. It was Bria because she was talking about how like she loves a magical realism food book.
Yes.
Type of a thing. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And this book definitely counts for that.
Yeah. Bria and I are simpatico on that. So there's four different visitors, and each of them is hoping to go back in time using this cafe's time traveling offer. And there is a bunch of things that people need to know. You can only stay back in time for as long as a cup of coffee takes to get cold. You can't get up.
Yes. Okay. I'm remembering this.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You can't get up from the seat that you're in, and no matter what you do, it's not going to change like the outcome.
Yes. Okay.
And so four different people go back in time. One of them is to confront this woman who wants to confront this man who left her. This other one received a letter from her husband who has early onset Alzheimer's. There's two more. One of them wants to see their sister one last time, and then another one wants to meet the daughter that they never got a chance to know. And these like seemingly impossible things of how could they make any difference. And the way that the story shows how they do something slightly different to either bring themselves or someone else inner peace, despite the fact that they can't change anything, is just so beautiful. And it, like, the point of the story really isn't to resolve anything. It's just like, I feel like it's to make you feel a certain emotions and to bring you, help you come to terms with certain things in your own life. And it's so beautiful. And they're actually, I don't know, I'm looking it up in real time. There appears to be a second one Before the Coffee Gets Cold, Tales from the Cafe. I wonder if we have this on Overdrive, but yeah, Before the Coffee Gets Cold by Toshikazu Kawaguchi. It looks like the second one might not be translated yet into English, which would be a bummer. Oh no, we do have it. Guys, we have the second. Oh, it's a UK.
Oh, isn't that, I actually just special ordered two books from the UK because I couldn't wait for them to come out in the US. It's like such a relatable pain. And I know that there are definitely UK readers that are like, oh, something's not out here, or it's up, but it's out in the US.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before the coffee gets cold. And if you're a UK listener, you can enjoy the second one as well. So let me know how that is. Mallory, what's your last pick?
My last book, which I didn't talk about Reading Glasses, and I know that you two haven't talked about, it's a YA graphic novel that I love. It's called Cast No Shadow by Nick Tapolansky and by artist Anissa Espinosa. And it's this really adorable story about this teen boy who he was born without a shadow. And he lives in this really small town. He's lived in the small town his whole life. And one day he's exploring the spooky house on the edge of town. And there's a ghost there. And he gets a crush on the ghost. I don't know why I keep reading books with A, ghost characters, and B, people who like get crushes on ghosts. I think I'm going to have to put it into my wheelhouse because I keep reading books like that and I love them. But this is such a fun, cute, quick summer read about these two, boy with no shadow and a girl ghost and she's from, I think, like 100 years before. And they fall in love with each other. But of course, something goes wrong in the town that threatens to pull them apart. I think they're going to be tearing the house down or something like that, and they're both panicking because they don't know what to do and they're trying to figure out how to solve the problem. It's so adorable and so fun, and if you love things, it's great for people who love spooky things but don't want a horror book, you know what I mean, don't want to be scared but just like want fun spooky ghost fun things. This is a really great one, and I adored it. Highly recommend for a summer read. That's Cast No Shadow by Nick Tapolansky and Anissa Espinosa.
I will say lastly, if you also want something else spooky that's kind of like middle grady, Scritch Scratch by Lindsay Curry is so freaking good.
Writing that down. I've never heard of it.
There's actually, I'm looking behind me, I might have to do it before when we stop the recording here. She has another book that just came out that is also delightful. Okay, everybody, I'm going to wrap this up so that I can stop our recording and say goodbye to Mallory before my meeting. But once again, as always, Mallory, you literally woke up to the book signal. So thank you for doing this.
I'm ready anytime.
You are the
I'm always ready to talk about a bazillion books.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Professional Book Nerds podcast.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from overdrive.com, and our library friends can purchase these titles in Marketplace. Professional Book Nerds is proud to be an Evergreen Podcast signature program. To learn about other Evergreen podcasts, visit evergreenpodcasts.com. Our podcast is produced, recorded, and edited by Adam Sokol and Jill Grunewald, and presented by Overdrive. For more information, visit professionalbooknerds.com.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.